book of Nehemiah. We're going to be finishing chapter 9 this evening. And it's been a joy to be able to study through this book. And church, I hope it's been a blessing to you. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, Nehemiah chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 16. And I'll just let you follow along silently while I read out loud. Here, beginning in verse 16, and I'm going to read all the way down through verse 38. Verse 16. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Yea, when they had made them a molten calf, and said, This is thy God that brought thee up out of Egypt, and had wrought great provocations. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and didst divide them into corners, so that they possessed the land of Sihon, and the land of king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, the king of Bashan. Their children also multipliedest, thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land concerning the which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards and oliveyards and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies, who vexed them. And in a time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. And when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifiedest against them, that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. And withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifiedest against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us. For thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served in thee in their kingdom, and in thy great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Behold, we are servants this day. And for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers, to eat the fruit thereof, and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. And it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle and their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. So you say, why did you read all of that passage of Scripture? Well, because I didn't have very much to say about it. Thank you for laughing. You understand me very well. No, I read it because I wanted you to understand exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. Did you notice the sentiment of these people? We've already talked about in the beginning of chapter 9, how the people of Israel, they were there in fasting and sackcloth and earth upon them. They were confessing their sins. They were taking the time to get right with God. They were taking time to read the Word of God, to get to know the Word of God. They stood and worshiped their God, and they confessed and they read in the book. And then after all of that, the priests and the Levites, they got up on the steps and they addressed God and they addressed the people. They rehearsed the wonderful works of God. They rehearsed the mighty doings of God. They acknowledged God for who He was. This revival was in full effect. They had humbled themselves before God. They had confessed their sins. They had returned to the Word of God. They took the time necessary to worship God. They made God the Lord of their lives. They rehearsed the wonderful works of God. And then they said, God, it is now time to make a covenant with You. God, it is now time to rededicate ourselves, recommit ourselves. You've allowed us to come back to this place and rebuild the walls and take away the reproach that's been upon us and upon You in this place. This is Your city. This is Your place. This is where You set Your name. And it was a place of glory, and it was a place of praise, and it was a place of honor. But now it's become a reproach. And God, it's all because that our forefathers forsook You. They took Your word and threw it behind their back. And You gave them time to repent. And they repented. And You rescued them. And then they did it again. And then they did it again. And You did it again. And they did it again. And You did it again. Yeah. These people were serious. And they get down to the end. And they talk about where they are as servants in a land that God had given them to rule over. As servants harvesting these crops and taking of the fruit of the land and giving it to a foreign heathen king. When it should go to God's people and for God's glory and to God's treasuries, etc., etc. And they say that in verse 38, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. They were all in one accord. They had all agreed that this was the course of action that they needed to take to make things right. In the subsequent chapters, as we're going to read the next several Sunday evenings, we actually see the names of the people that are recorded as to signing this covenant with God.
and committing unto God.
But tonight I want you to look at the heart of the matter. As they are in this position, as they are in this state of revival, beginning in verse 16, they switch from recording the wonders and the miracles and the great things that God has done, and they switch the focus to God's mercy upon them. I mean, how many times did you hear me say a form of the word mercy as I read through this? Many times. Several times. Because the mercy of God is one of those things that we ought to thank God for. We ought to praise God for. We ought to tell God, God, we are so glad that you are merciful unto us, sinners. He said, well, what about the grace of God? Well, I'm for the grace of God. They mentioned it here in the scripture as well. But without the mercy of God, we would not have so great a salvation. You understand that mercy is not receiving something that you should have received by way of punishment. Grace is getting something you didn't deserve. So God's mercy is paramount in us. Because guess what we have racked up? A sin bill. And because of God's mercy, we don't have to pay it. Because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. No, that's not a Bible verse, that's a song. Amen. But listen to me. They counted the times of the mercy of God in their history. Now listen, these scribes, these Levites, these priests, they knew the history of God to His people. You say, but many times they talk about forgetting God and forsaking God and leaving God. And yes, that's all been recorded. There's a record of that. Just go and read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Joshua and Judges and Ruth. I mean, go back and read it all. You can see how they were right with God and then backslid into captivity, rescued, right with God. I mean, it's a roller coaster. Probably the one with the most twists and turns of any in any theme park in this world. They focused on the mercy of God. The people refused to obey. They refused to hearken to God's commandments. But God was a God ready to pardon. God was a God that was gracious and merciful. God was a God that was slow to anger and of great kindness. God was a God that was not willing to forsake His people. No matter how much they sinned, no matter how many times they went away and came back, and went away and came back. You understood that God was a God of these things? If you think about the Bible and the book of Hosea, what an amazing book. I mean, it starts off, God takes this prophet, He tells him, hey, listen, I want you to go marry someone who's going to be unfaithful to you to be a picture of how Israel has been unfaithful to me. That'll just blow your mind right there. And he got Gomer. Not the guy in the Marine Corps. And you know what? She was his wife, and then she went out and she came back. She went out. He brought her back. She went out. I mean, and he said, hey, Israel, wake up. This is what you've been doing to me all these years. And listen, folks, if we're not careful, we're going to be the same type of people to our God. Oh, we ought to be grateful that God is a God of mercy. You understand that God loves us and God's going to forgive us of our sin. He's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we come and confess our sins, like it says in 1 John. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ,
according as he hath chosen in us in him, or chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. These folks were excited that God was ready and willing to restore them, to forgive them, to bring them back out of this captivity into being under the leadership and the authority of God Almighty. They were in a state of revival. They were coming back to God because of his mercy. Take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. You're doing a great job of listening tonight. Praise Jesus. Psalm 103. Listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. This is what these folks are banking on. This is what these people are attesting to as they are recounting all the things that their fathers did and all the times that God restored them, all the times that God rescued them, all the times that God heard their cries, all the times that God was faithful to not forsake and not forget his people. And they said, God, we're in such a case. We are in such a situation where we are standing here today to sign and to make a commitment to you this day, our God. Because of your mercy, because of your grace, because of your loving kindnesses, because of your forgiveness,
Folks, I hope you understand that as they were going through, and they were, we read through these things, so I'm not going to go through them one by one, but you understand that these people did not hide any of the guilt. They did not sweep anything under the rug. They were opening the closets and sweeping out the cobwebs and getting into the nooks and the crannies of everything of their history. And they say, God, we are standing before you an open people, ready to receive your mercy. Folks, if we need anything today, we need our churches to be like that. We need our own individual lives to be like that. Oh, come on now. We try to hide things from God, don't we? Or we think we are. Oh, just think about that for a moment. What? Just like God asked Adam. Adam, where art thou? Do you think that these people had to do this? Do you think that God didn't know the record of their forefathers, of their past, of their people? No, he knew. Don't you think God remembered all the wonderful things that he did? Did they have to rehearse all those things? No. In 1 John, when we talk about us confessing our sins and admitting to God our iniquities and bringing them before him, does he not know? Oh, he knows. It's not for him. It's for us. It's for us. Being open and honest with God is not for God. It's for us. Remembering God's mercy is not for God. It's for us. Remembering God's grace is not for God. It's for us. So that we remember. So that we can recommit. So that we can focus on Him and His tender mercies. And His loving kindnesses. And His grace. As we close tonight, don't get excited. We still have 9 minutes. And that's just till 7:30. I want to focus on some things. This thing of a covenant. What does it mean to make a covenant with God? We've been talking about promises this morning, right? We're talking about how we can commit ourselves to the Lord. And if we need anything today, we need some Christians that are going to be committed to God, wholly committed to God. Like these people. And if we're going to seal revival in our hearts and our lives, there's got to be a commitment. You say, but what if I break that commitment? Well, you understand that people talked about that, how commitments were made and they were broken and difficulties came, punishment came, but restoration was there. You understand the cycle, but it starts with a commitment. You say, but why should I make a commitment to God? Why should I seal the revival in my heart with a commitment? Like these people were sealing in their hearts a commitment to God because of the revival that was taking place amongst them. Well, we should, because God's a covenant God. You say, what do you mean? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, the word covenant is first mentioned. In verse 17 and 18, it says, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. That's the first time the word covenant is mentioned in Scripture. You understand that what was God doing here? He's telling Moses, goodness, here I go again. Moses on the ark, Noah killing his son on top of Mount Moriah, you know, just get them all mixed up. No, he was telling Noah before Moses that, Noah, I'm going to make a covenant with you. You've walked with me. You've been faithful. You've been pure and complete in your generations. You've followed my laws. You've followed my statutes. You've followed my commandments. You've not been like the other people that are in this world, that are wicked and vile, and it's come up as such a noise to me that I need to do some thinning of the herd. I'm going to wipe everything out. Sin is so rampant. Everything's in disarray because of the choices of men. Folks, do you understand that Jesus said that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man? You understand that we're getting there. And how wicked mankind had gotten from the time of Adam to the time of Noah. Some 900, almost 1,000 years. Horrible. Wickedness. And think about this. 8 people escaped. 8. Out of how many thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions at that time? We don't know the census of the world at that time. 8. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. Did God keep his promise? Yeah. Did Noah and his family make it into the ark? And who sealed the door, by the way? Oh, I love that. That's a whole nother message. Would you like to stay a little later tonight? God did that. After the ark rested and the time had passed by, God said this in Genesis chapter 9. And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast in the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. You enjoy some beautiful rainbows? He says, and it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. Isn't that great? God spoke this to Noah thousands of years ago. How many rainbows have there been since that time? Countless. Countless rainbows. As a sign of the covenant of God. We serve a covenant God. We serve a God that keeps his promises. Now listen to these. Here are just a few examples of the covenants that man has made with God. One of them is the example that we have here tonight that we have already read. These people, in search of true revival in their life, said, we're making a covenant with God. Today we are signing and sealing it unto God by our princes and Levites and priests before our God. We have nothing to hide. We are sold out. We are making this covenant with you, our God, today. Think of this. In Exodus chapter 24, Moses came and told all the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. You think they were serious? They were. That was Exodus 24. Now we're reading in Nehemiah. And we just read the account of what? Hey, our God's a covenant God. He's never going to break one of His. How's our track record as people? Yeah, that's a wonderful sigh, brother. Not so good. Not so good. He said, but what about Joshua 24? I love what Joshua says. Joshua, he's kind of my kind of guy, I think. He said, people said unto Joshua, I didn't write that one down. Joshua basically told the people, you can't serve God. And they said unto him, the Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Moses sprinkled blood on the people. Joshua said, this stone has heard everything, and it'll be a witness if you deny your God. One of the saddest things to read in Scripture is how the people that overlived Joshua followed God. But then there arose a generation which knew not God or His works. In 2 Kings chapter 11, Jehoiada the priest, he made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, and between the king also and the people. That's 2 Kings 11. Then in 2 Kings 23, Hezekiah also, or I'm sorry, Josiah, this is Josiah's day. Josiah the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that it were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Then back into captivity. In 2 Chronicles, I believe this is during Hezekiah's day, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Woo! Now that's a covenant. Whether small or great, whether man or woman, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Wow. But then, you understand that these are just a few examples of Israel's history. We read the record that the priests and Levites gave of Israel's history and of the mercy of God. Can I say something to you about mankind and their covenants? They're made and they're broken.
and remade and rebroken and remade and rebroken and remade and rebroken. What's the moral of the story? It's best if we keep the covenants that we make to God. But if perchance we do end up breaking our covenant with God, there is mercy. There is grace. Now, did it come at a cost? Yes. Did they suffer? Yes. Did they need to cry out to God and for rescuing and for deliverance? Yes. But did he? Yes. Will he? Yes. Because he's that kind of God. One last verse tonight, Hebrews chapter 13. Says this about our Lord. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for if we trust, we have good conscience in all things, willingly to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather, to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, folks, this last half of this chapter, it's not just a record of the people of the history of the people of God. It ought to be something we pay attention to. About the mercy of God and our commitment to God for our lives in this time and this day. For this church in this time and this day. For the seal of spiritual revival in our lives and in this church's existence in this time and this day.